Prescott gives it. Miles Sanders running in open space. There goes Sanders at the 30. Chase to the 20. Bond brings him down to the 10.
A few moments later,
from the 11-yard line, Sanders. Ball out. Picked up by Quinyon Mitchell.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Wow. How about our guy, Kenny Henderson, filling in for Jake Hassan today? Jake doesn't want it bad enough. He's out on a phenomenal football Friday before week one. So he's a clown. And Kenny coming in with like a nice little piece of imaging there. I love that from Kenny. Kenny, good job there with the few moments later. We absolutely love that. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth with the call last night on NBC. We'll get the Miles Sanders, We'll get to it in a few moments here when we fully break down the game from the betting perspective. But for now, we continue to talk from a football perspective, what we saw on the field last night, and how we're going to spin it forward. So I closed last segment talking about Dallas, right? And if that's what Dak Prescott's going to look like this season, if they had a good defense, like he could win MVP this year if he plays like that. He was so good last night. The throws from Dak last night were absolutely preposterous. They were awesome, and he was let down by his receivers, most notably, obviously, CeeDee Lamb. And I think the over can hit next week against the Giants, and I like Dallas in that game. Obviously, let's see what the Giants do on Sunday against Washington. No Andrew Thomas, probably not going to go well for the Giants. The Cowboys' defense, though, is not good. And there's an Eagles application of this that we'll get to as well. But this defense is not good for Dallas. Now, Dante Fowler had, like, one decent, like, pass rush and got to Jalen Hurts and actually, like, whipped Jordan Mailata on the play. It was actually nice from Dante Fowler. Otherwise, like, Collinsworth spent the whole game talking about, like, Marshawn Nealon's effort. Like, this is, like seventh grade or something. Like, we're giving out participation trophies for high motors. I don't understand. The Cowboys' pass rush got ragdolled all game by the Eagles' tackles. Lane Johnson and Mailata just annihilated the Cowboys pass rush. I don't know what the hell the Eagles were doing on offense in this game. And again, we'll get to that in a second, but I'm not like walking away from this game saying Dallas's defense is legit because they held the Eagles to 24 points. Like, I don't believe that for a second. The lightning delay absolutely warped what was happening in this game because we were on track for like maybe like a 41-38 final score. And this is not sour grapes. It partially is sour grapes because of my overbet. But, like, let's call a spade, right? There was, like, Miles Sanders fumbles the last play before the lightning delay. That was the first possession where there wasn't a score, and they were on the Eagles' 11-yard line. And then from there, not one point was scored. And people think this had nothing to do with, like, with how the game played out? Like, come on. Come on. The Eagles were going to score like 40 points in this game. However weird it looked, I feel like that was going to happen. So Dallas's defense, I don't want to put too much stock into the performance last night because of the weather delay. And the other thing, and this is consistent with what I was saying all offseason leading into this game. The Dallas offense, I think, is going to be really fun this year because of the passing attack. I don't think this run game is any good still. And I know Javonte Williams scored 2 touchdowns, and Javonte, like, looked pretty good. Jalen Carter didn't play. The best defensive player on the Eagles did not play. The best defensive tackle in the league didn't play in the game. Of course they were going to have some success running the football right up the middle when Jalen Carter doesn't play. So I'm not going to buy that Dallas's defense is this, wow, they're better than expected because they gave up 24. Consider the lightning delay. And I'm not going to buy that, oh, Dallas's run game is fixed. Like, consider that the context, right? Jalen Carter was out in the game. But I'm still impressed with the Cowboys despite that. I thought it was a gamey effort from Prescott, from Brian Schottenheimer, and from the team. And we'll get to CeeDee Lamb and company in a few moments. From the Eagles' perspective now, they did win the game. That's the first thing. And it's the most important thing. They won. However it happens, however it looked. And the Eagles have this ability, even in like a year like last year, right? Where you can make the case in the aftermath, this is one of the better teams like this century in the NFL, where they win games, like they don't lose, like they win. And the fan base is infuriated by it. And we're infuriated watching it. And they won! And you still feel that way. So they did win. And they won without Jalen Carter. And they get credit for that. They're trying to win a Super Bowl championship. They start 1-0. And the Cowboys start 0-1. I tried to tell everybody this summer, this Eagles secondary is a big-time issue. Once you get past Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, we're in the disaster zone, big time. I said all summer, Adoree Jackson is absolute toast. Stick a fork in him. He done. Did anyone actually feel bad for him last night? Did you have that point where just like human being empathy, like you feel bad for him? Because every single time the Cowboys have a wide open receiver, here's number 8 chasing him. It's just Adoree Jackson getting beat and beat and beat some more. Just destroyed. And I'm watching this thinking like, okay, like at some point you got to try something different. Like, I think it's going to end up being Jacorian Bennett. I said that the day after they made that trade with the Raiders. But man, like, secondary leaves a lot to Reed Blankenship. Like, his biggest play of the game was almost killing Jake Ferguson on that hospital ball from Dak Prescott in the end zone. Like, the secondary is an issue for the Eagles. Pass rush wasn't great for Philadelphia. Obviously, Jalen Carter doesn't play. That didn't help. But I think you walk away from this game thinking, okay, like, maybe the Eagles' defense, maybe not as good as we thought coming into the year. I don't want to overreact. Like, Carter didn't play in the game. But that secondary feels like it's problematic. And then there's the offense. Now, Jalen Hurts played well in the game. The Eagles won. He was outstanding running the ball. And he's always in command. He's always in control. And he's always poised. And I'm guessing you'll agree with what I'm about to say, you the person watching and listening. There's no way Hurts was... He had to have been hurt the entire year, which just makes it even more amazing that he won Super Bowl MVP, because he looked so much different running the ball in this game than he has for like 2 years, I want to say. He looked great running that extra burst and juice running the ball. So I thought Jalen Hurts played well. He did what he was asked to do. I think if you're an Eagles fan, I think you need to be slightly concerned about Kevin Petullo, the new offensive coordinator. Is he a disgrace to Italians? I'm not sure yet. I would say that this was not a smashing start for Kevin Petullo. Now, I understand that in one breath I'm saying I think they could have scored 40 points if the lightning delay didn't happen. But I mean, I don't know how you have a game play out in the NFL when you have two monstars at receiver, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they combine for 4 catches for 24 yards. I have no idea how that happens. Like, it felt weird on offense for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got no problem with them spelling Saquon Barkley more than last year, all the touches last year. We saw Will Shipley. We saw A.J. Dillon. Like, I'm fine with that. I think that's actually smart, because who cares about running for 2,000 yards? Again, if you're Saquon Barkley and you're the Eagles, like, he got paid again. They gave him more money. The goal is that he's healthy in January and February. Like, I don't, that part of it, I don't mind. As a football analyst and observer, if I were an Eagles fan, I wouldn't mind that. But I did not think this was, like, the greatest first game calling plays for Kevin Petullo. I don't want to go too nuts here on what we saw from the Eagles, right? Because I've criticized the defense and I've criticized the offensive play calling. I also, earlier this week, picked the Eagles to win the NFC again and represent the conference in the Super Bowl. And there's no way that I'm going to walk that opinion back after one game and a game that they won. But I think we've got a couple things to watch now moving forward with Philly. Starting next week, on the road at the Chiefs, in a Super Bowl rematch. And Jalen Carter might be suspended for that game. Like the clause, like the that's in the NFL rule book is like respect for the opposition. If they're going to go by the letter of that law, like he should actually like never play again. He should be like banned from the sport. It's like literally, it's like I guess like he could like sleep with Dak's wife and that would be more offensive. Like in terms of like the offensive meter, it's like number one, like sleep with the man's wife. Number two, spit in his face. He should actually, like, if that's the rule, he should never play again. I'm being facetious. Maybe he's suspended for the game. Maybe he'll play. We got to watch this Eagles secondary. And if that's going to be a thing this season, that number two corner spot is an abject failure, assuming that DeJean's the nickel corner, right, and not the number two boundary corner. And what's this offensive play calling going to look like? Are they going to be able to have an effective passing game when they need to have an effective passing game? Because they were able to win last night without it. I think if they play like that offensively against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to lose that game. They're going to lose that game. So I'm not going to go crazy yet on the Eagles, but I do think there is some cause for concern. And I can't wait to watch Kansas City tonight and get ready for Kansas City, Philadelphia next week. You better you bet on this Friday. Okay. Let's talk about the bets. All right. The over is one of the more infuriating week one bets that I've lost in a betting career for me that started in 2004. This is year 21 for me betting on the National Football League. And I can count on one hand the really significant week one bad beats that I've had. We can go back to week one, 2008. I had a four-team teaser for way too much money at the time for what I was making as a radio producer at Sirius XM NFL Radio. And it came down to the final play of Panthers Chargers in San Diego. And the only thing that I needed to happen, Chargers up 24-20, from the 14-yard line, the only thing that I needed to happen was for the Chargers to not allow a touchdown on the final play. Here's Jake Delhomme to Dante Rosario. Touchdown. And I'm poor. I literally had to ask my mom for money like to buy lunch at work the next day. What a loser, man. How about 2 years ago? I'm in Vegas with Ken Barkley. We got the Colts against the Jaguars, and they do that. Like we should have known at that moment that Anthony Richardson didn't have what it takes in the NFL because he kept leaving the goddamn game at the end when we needed them to score a touchdown. They could have like 9 tries from like the 2-yard line and couldn't score. That one was really bad. And then the rotten cherry on top of the sour sundae was last year. Bears Titans. The whole offseason, we love the Tennessee Titans. Caleb Williams, Bears 4.5-point favorites, facts not in evidence. If you read Ty Dunn's piece today, Ty Dunn who writes for Go Long, which is like a great like Substack, man, it's a miracle the Bears were able to win this game, right? A game with a moment so infamous. Will Levis, ridiculous pick six, followed by dropping to his knees during the play. Doing a surrender cobra. While the play's still going on. Unprecedented. While the play is going on. And in these moments, as sports bettors, we watch our money evaporate. How did the Titans lose? It's the worst bet. It's the worst beat of the entire season. And it was in week one last year. I pray. There are no gambling gods. They don't exist. It's like the gambling, whatever. Like, let me just say, just like, sometimes it's just like, it's all random. Everything's just all chance. It is my sincere hope. And it's not going to happen like this. Because it never does. I hope and pray that last night is the worst beat of the whole season. If that's the case, it's going to be a great year. Get that bleep out of the way now so we don't have to deal with it moving forward. But that's not how it goes. Oh, no. More bad beats are waiting around the corner. Possibly tonight. Possibly Sunday. Possibly Monday. You can't escape. Oh, man. What a delight. On the other side, we'll dive a little deeper into the bets lost last night and how pissed we are because of them.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.